What do we do in our meditation practice is we place a lotus in front of us, and then in a relaxed manner, we focus our attention, our awareness on the lotus. And when our mind is naturally resting on the lotus, then our mind is very obedient. Our mind will get distracted, but it doesn't get distracted so quickly. If our mind is not naturally focused on the lotus, then very quickly it will be distracted. Then when our awareness leaves the object, we bring our awareness back to the object again. In terms of material concerns, supramundane concerns, there are these natural laws. What happens is when our mind is very distracted, then we get more anxious and more nervous, and then our mind really is all over the place. Then what do? Relax, relax, in a natural, relaxed state, abide, in calm abiding. And then very quickly, our mind will be able to come to calm abiding. And then when our mind settles down into calm abiding, we will experience that state of mind, that energy. And we will all be able to experience this boundless blessing and energy. The more nervous, the more anxious our mind is, the more we think. And the more we think, the more anxious and nervous our mind is. And then we really lose our wisdom ability. We lose our ability to analyze and our logic. And then instead of advancing us, it just takes us back. We regress. Relax. The more thoughts we have, the more we must learn to relax. Relax. For instance, when we are learning to swim, as soon as we get frightened or anxious, then we start swallowing water. Then what does the swimming coach say? Relax, relax. And then when we become relaxed, then we find, oh, our body just naturally floats. These are all methods. And the practice of great perfection, following the step-by-step practice procedures, is very, very successful. Don't blindly search for the answers. We won't come to the answers this way. Don't practice blindly. Practice according to the standard, the step-by-step requirements given to us by our Vajra Guru. Step by step, improve and move forward. And we don't have to put in so much effort and be so hard working in terms of our practice. And naturally, we will be able to progress. And as we advance in our practice, our mind will become more and more natural. And the more natural we become, the better and better our meditative concentration and awareness will be. And our mind won't be distracted and lost and scattered. The more natural it is, the greater our meditative concentration will be. And we won't let a single random thought go by, arise unnoticed. Not a single arising thought. No matter what arising thought, positive or negative, will be applied in practice. And the thoughts will liberate through bare attention and liberate as soon as the thought arises. And then to apply these methods is very easy. And then the more we practice, the quicker we'll be able to liberate, the more natural we are. It's not a state of distraction or prevention. The great perfection practice, the state thereof is the more natural we are, the purer we are. The more natural we are, the purer we are. And eventually, no matter what the external environment or what is going on internally, it will not be able to restrict this mind of ours or be able to bind this mind of ours. This is the state of experience that we will have when we improve our state of mind. And then when they see the suffering of sentient beings, they can give rise to compassion. And when they see this, then when they want to, they can really benefit sentient beings and help them. And they have the wisdom to do this. And it is in this state of meditation that all of the benefits and all the merits of the Heart Sutra arise. In different scenarios, situations, they have this compassion and benefit for sentient beings. And they have wisdom when they want to resolve problems. And this state of realization is gradually achieved through practice, through training our mind. And to do this, we must naturally abide following the pith instructions that we've received. For instance, let one's mind naturally abide on the pith instruction of the lotus, and that I can, not moving from the visualization of the lotus, I can do this for 10 minutes. And then when I am practicing the second pith instruction, then I will be able to abide for 20 minutes. My personal ability will have become more vast. And then when I am using the pith instruction, then my state of awareness is inseparable with that of the Tibetan letter R. Then my ability is much greater. I can abide like this, unmoving, for 20 minutes. And supporting this state of practice is not intentionally, it's not purposefully, it's just naturally doing this. Naturally abiding in the true nature of mind, supporting the state of realization. And then being able to support the third pith instruction for 30 minutes without any difficulty at all. And the practice of the pith instructions also have their methods, their instructions. When we were practicing the pith instructions with His Holiness Lama Achug Rinpoche, when we were given a pith instruction, that's all we practiced. We didn't read books, we didn't listen to teachings, we didn't recite mantras. And in this case, is that all that we did? No. We followed the procedures. What we did, we went through the whole process from aspiring to bodhicitta, all the way through to practicing the pith instruction to dedication. And when we were practicing and we weren't able to abide in the true nature of mind, we weren't trying to pursue any type of realization. His Holiness Lama Achug Rinpoche wouldn't let us think about these things or pursue this, because as soon as we did this, then our practice would go down the wrong path. What was his first instruction? First, that you bring your mind to calm abiding. And then once we'd established a platform, a base of this calm abiding, then he would tell us that we need to establish this state of clarity, luminosity. There was the step-by-step procedure. And he would inform us of these pith instructions. And then when we were practicing these pith instructions, the first, the second, the third, the fourth, and we wouldn't be saying or looking, is this Rigpa? Is this the true nature of mind? Is this Rigpa? Is this the true nature of mind? And even if it is, why is it important? You're not even able to at this stage support it for more than just a few moments. How are we going to be able to do this when right now we are practicing pith instructions, but we're not able to maintain the standard requirement for the pith instructions? It's coming and going in just a moment. It is when we have attained a certain standard that then the guru starts teaching us the methods to be able to recognize the true nature of mind. And until we've achieved those requirements, the guru is not going to teach us the pith instructions for realizing the true nature of mind, because it's just of no use. For instance, if we have just started school, is it of any benefit to teach very advanced university teachings? It's of no use. We really may have learned many, many things. However, in terms of practice, we're at a state of zero. And if this is the case, don't worry. We can start gradually achieving the requirements through practice. And what is our greatest conceptual obscuration is that we're not willing to engage in practice, actual practice. We're not willing to request for the pith instructions and go into a retreat. You tell me, how many practitioners that haven't gone into retreat, haven't requested the Pitta instructions, haven't practiced, have only attained realization through study. I think maybe only a handful